Well, here's a challenge I'd like to outlay for you. In the build-up to Christmas, I was looking at the BBC News website, and I saw that there was an article. I saw that there was an article on Silent Night, that favourite carol that brings up so much of what we think of at Christmas. There it was, Silent Night. And I saw it as I clicked, and I thought, here's a wonderful opportunity to think a bit more about the Christian message. Because after all, this is a carol that says Christ the Redeemer is here. Well, I was shocked as I watched the video. In fact, I was slightly angered as I watched the video. Because what became apparent was in this 3 or 4 minute video, they talked about everything but Christ the Redeemer who was born. They spoke about those who had originally composed it, and I think they did them a great injustice by not mentioning the reason that they had composed it. They went and saw the birthplace of the monk and likewise the guy who had composed the music. They even went to a museum and saw the very first guitar in which this tune was played. All sorts of history. They did interviews with German people. It was, of course, originally written in German. They did interviews with German people where they explained their fondness of this carol. And they did interviews with English people, again, explaining the fondness of this carol. Do you want me to change microphone? Well, they explained their fondness of this carol. But here's the thing that unfolded. Not once did they mention that this carol was about Christ the Redeemer that was born. Now, I have to confess that as I watched this video, I got more and more infuriated. I was hoping, waiting, that at least once they would mention that the heart of Christmas was, of course, Christ. But what was apparent was that they were presenting a Christ-less Christmas as opposed to a Christ-centered Christmas. Well, there it was. I watched it and I was infuriated. I wonder what your response would have been. Mine was to look for the complaints department of the BBC, and I sent off an angry worded email. I took to social media and romped and moaned all about it. Now, that's just one example, and I'm sure we could perhaps share ones of our own where we look at our culture, where we look at our context, even where we look at our wider church, and where we see a people who have turned from God's ways, who have not even acknowledged God in the context of Christmas and in this celebration. We can look around and see a culture that has distanced itself from God. Well, what's our response? When we see the injustice of legal hands, when we see the injustice and oppression towards poor, do we take to angry emails? Do we go on social media and say, this is terrible, isn't it terrible, what are we going to do about this? Well, with that challenge, let's look at Gideon. Let's look at Gideon in his context, the things that he faced, his experience, and his life, and how that came to challenge these things. So here's Gideon's context. The Israelites had done evil in the eyes of the Lord. And for 7 years, God had put them into the hands of the Midianites. As we see later on in the narrative, they were worshipping false gods. Yes, they were God's people. Yes, they were under this banner of being the Israelites. But at the core, at the center, it was anything but. They had distanced themselves from God. They had turned their back on his ways. There was nothing to evidence a relationship with God until it got to that point where they cried out for help. And things got so desperate when the Amalekites were causing their crop to fail, were ruining their livestock, when things were so, so desperate, they cried to the Lord for help. Well, with that, we start to see a bit of the scandal of God's grace, because actually he does come to their help. Even though they've turned their back on him, even though they have shunned him, God comes to the help of his people, his covenant people who he loves and who he blesses. And it's through Gideon that we learn of this. We have, of course, a prophet who challenges. And then there's the call of Gideon. And as we mark his journey through, we see an individual who is in step An individual who is seeking and growing and learning God's will in his life. And he does so with brutal honesty. We learn that God doesn't give up on his people. And we see the example of Gideon and the way in which he led God's people as a wonderful testimony to that. Here's a question for you to consider. Who's the person in your life that you know, perhaps a work colleague, a friend, or a family member, who is disarmingly honest? When you ask their opinion, they say exactly as it is. You say, does this new hat suit me? And they go, no, it really doesn't. You say, do you think I should be doing this? I think it'd be a wonderful idea. And they say, no. But equally, when you know that when you turn to that person for their advice and for their honesty, when it's something that is good for you, something that does suit you, you value it all the more, do you not? Because they're discerning and they're brutally honest and they say it as it is. I think in life we could do with more people like that. Well, Gideon is an example of faith that shows disarming honesty. He wrestles with what God is saying. He is open and honest when he sees the challenges that are before him. When we look at the call from the angel of the Lord, here's how it unfolds. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior, the angel said to Gideon. But sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where's all the wonders that our fathers told us about? When they said, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us in the hand of the Midianites. Is the Lord really with us? Is this wonderful thing that you're proclaiming, O angel of the Lord, is it really true? Because I'd like to question that, says Gideon. I don't think that is the case. Here is someone who is disarmingly honest, who says it as it is. When the angel of the Lord speaks to them, they don't try and respond with highfalutin words that make them sound intelligent and higher than they are. They say, no, God, I don't think that is the case. I think things are pretty desperate. The way I see it is we're down and out. Is God really with us? Is that what you're saying? Well, here marks the journey of someone who engages. Someone who seeks to know more of what God is doing. Someone who's ready to be humbled. Someone who is ready to learn of God's will in their life. What we see, as I mentioned earlier, is that Gideon makes these two offerings to the Lord. And as the tip of the staff of the angel of the Lord touches this offering, it is consumed. And all of a sudden, Gideon realizes the power of the Lord. The next offering is one where he strikes down this worship of false gods, of the Baal gods of the time. This causes a lot of consternation with the people that were around. But here we see this journey where Gideon is learning more and more about trusting in God and about the way in which God is calling him. Perhaps you've heard in Christian circles and in church context the phrase laying out a fleece. Laying out a fleece to find out what God is calling us to. Maybe you've not heard of it either way. It's a phrase that I would like you to know by the end of today. It's a phrase that comes from Gideon's experience. It comes after the reading that we had. After he has blown his trumpet, and after he has summoned God's people to go with him, he finds himself at this point where he is about to go to battle, but he wants to be sure. He wants to be certain of God's will. So he lays out a fleece to ask, God, is this so? And he asks God to make the fleece wet and the ground around it dry. God does so. Then again he asks God, are you sure? Is this definitely your will? And so he makes the request that the fleece might be dry, but the ground around it might be wet. In this honesty, in this question, in this challenge, we see a character who wants to know God's will. And not only just know it, but be sure and certain of it. Here's a challenge. In that questioning, in that discerning, in that seeking to know God's way, does it not echo the very words of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ? Take yourself back to that garden scene before the trial, before the arrest, before the crucifixion. There in the Garden of Gethsemane, here is Christ's words. My Father, is it possible? May this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Does Gideon's experience, does Gideon's question not echo the very words of Jesus? Lord, what is your will? And not what I will, but what you want. Is this the cup that you have for me, said Jesus? Gideon said, is this the call that you have for my life, that I might lead these people, that I might lead the Israelites, so that we might throw off our oppressors, so that we might throw off those who are ruining crop, who are killing our livestock and bringing misery to our lives for 7 long years? Does it not echo? Does it not ring true of someone who is seeking and discerning what God wants for their life? When we look at Gideon as a character, what we are ultimately presented with is someone who pleads and who wrestles to know God's ways. Here is a discerning character who with honesty engages and assesses what God is calling him to. Well, I think there's something for all of us to learn from there as we look at this man of God. But of course, as I alluded to earlier, this is a study in the Holy Spirit, in the work of the Holy Spirit, the way in which that's happening. Well, Gideon's experience shows us something quite wonderful. Here's what happens. As he is getting ready, as he is moving on in this journey, there's that moment where he blows the trumpet. The Midianites and all those who are with them were there, right over the river, ready to attack. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, summoning the Abiezrites to follow him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. In other translations that point us closer to the original language, it said that the Holy Spirit clothed Gideon. Can you picture that? Can you imagine that? This person on a spiritual journey, this person who asks and questions as it is being clothed by the power of the Holy Spirit to lead God's people in God's ways. The Spirit came upon him. The Spirit clothed him. God is bringing about his ways. And by the way, those ways are for the very people who had turned their back on him, who had forsaken him. Do you see the scandal of what is going on here? God is not giving up on his people. And as they're led by Gideon, here God's Spirit is bringing these things about. God had not forsaken his people. The Spirit moved. With that trumpet blast, perhaps you can even imagine it ringing in your own ear. The Spirit was in that. We're still to decide, perhaps. What's the challenge for us? We can look around and see all sorts of areas where God would appear to be absent, where things look desperate and challenging, where we get to the point where we echo what the Israelites said and say, Lord, help us. Where we echo that despair. Well, what's the challenge for us? God's call was upon Gideon's life, and he was disarmingly and brutally honest about that. God's call is on our lives as well. We need to be discerning, we need to be looking for that, and likewise we need to be encouraging one another. But don't try and dodge it with highfalutin words. Don't try and dodge it with church words, even using the phrase laying out of place. Be as honest as Gideon was. Is this really where you're calling me, God? Is this really the challenge that is all my life? And as we look at Gideon, as we look at this character, we see that God's Spirit came upon him. In our honesty, in our faith journey, might we be readying ourselves for the work of the Spirit? Might we be readying ourselves for what God is doing as he shows the scandal of his grace? Even people who had turned their back on him, his covenant people, whether it's the Israelites, whether it's the church, or whether it's our nation, God is showing the scandal of his grace. And what part are we going to play in that by the power of the Holy Spirit? Let's pray.